was tonight showing me in God's Word of Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. We'll be turning a little bit in our Bibles tonight and see some different passages of the Bible. I want to read one verse out of Proverbs chapter 4. We'll talk about this verse for just a few minutes, and then we'll turn to the book of 1 John. But let's look here, if you would, Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. And we'll look at one verse, read this one verse together. We'll pray and ask the Lord to help us, and then we'll talk for just a few minutes about this verse. Here, Proverbs chapter 4, let's look in verse 23. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. The Bible says, "Keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Let's read it one more time. "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Pray with me, if you will. Father, we thank you for this time we have. I pray, God, you'll bless every minute we have together. You'll speak to our hearts tonight. God, get us ready for that judgment day when we have to stand before thee and give an account of what we've done with ourselves and our bodies for thy glory. Lord, we thank you for these wonderful testimonies, for their salvation. God, for the salvation you give to a lost and dying world as they believe on Christ and repent of their sins. Lord, I pray tonight that you'll help me to be a vessel that will glorify thee. God, bless our young folks that's here tonight. Help them. I pray, God, you would. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. The Bible says here in verse 23, "Keep thou heart with all diligence." Diligence means with painstaking efforts. Here the man that's writing the Proverbs here is telling us that our heart is very important. And my friend, I'm not talking about just the heart that beats the blood through our bodies, that feeds our body the oxygen and the blood and the food and nutrients that we need. But I'm talking about our inner selves. The Bible says that we're made up of three parts, spirit, soul, and body. Spirit, soul, and body. The Bible put emphasis on the spirit. He named that first. My friend, we have a spirit. The Bible says our spirit is the candle of the Lord. Either that candle's lit, you have the light of Christ, you're saved, or that candle's not lit, and you're dead in trespasses and sins. But we all have a spirit, and that spirit is the Lord's. And then we all have a soul. That soul is intellect, emotion, and will. We can love each other through our souls. We can make the right decisions through our souls. And we have intellect, emotion, and will. And then we have a body. Our body is made up of five senses. We can feel, we can touch, we can taste, we can hear, we can see. We've got all these five senses that the body is made up of. The Bible says here, "Keep thy heart with all diligence." I don't believe the Bible is speaking about our body. I do not believe it's speaking about our soul. I believe it's speaking about our spirit. We need to keep our spirit with all diligence. The Bible says that we're saved for a reason. The Bible says that we should work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. That doesn't mean you work to be saved, but that means after you get saved, you work to see what God saved you for. He saved us unto good works, the Bible says. We don't work to save ourselves, but you get saved by God's grace. He gives you a new desire, and we start working for the Lord and find our purpose, find our place in the ministry, find our place in His work, and give ourselves to that. The Bible says in verse 23, "Keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it," speaking about the heart, "are the issues of life." Everything that we involved ourselves in, we put our hearts into it. I'm not talking about the muscle that beats the blood. I'm talking about our spirit. We put ourselves into it. The Bible says that we should keep our hearts with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You want to know why a man's not a good husband? Because his heart's not right. You want to know why a mother's not a good mother? Because her heart's not right. If they get their heart right with the Lord, if they let Christ have his proper place, they'd be the right person. They'd be the Christian that God saved them to be. They'd be the right husband, the right wife, and mother, and father. And they even would be the children. I'm not going to spoil a message. I'm trying to get ready for you, but the Bible speaks about children should be subject themselves to their parents. They should be in subjection to their parents. And how a wife should be in subjection to her husband. How the husband should be in the same subjection to his wife and love his wife as Christ loved the church. And all that proceeds out of our hearts. I want you to turn here, if you would, to 1 John. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Remember what we just read. "Keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it," the heart, "are the issues of life." Look here, if you would, in 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3 is a wonderful book about fellowship, about love. 1 John chapter 3. Lord, notice what it says here in verse 18 through the remainder of the chapter. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 18, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Well, that's a great Bible passage right there. Let us love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence towards God. For whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is the commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandment dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Many times you read the same word heart in this passage of Scripture. Again, I'm not speaking about the muscle that's pumping blood, but I'm talking about the inner soul, the inner self, the Spirit of God, the thing that's inside of us that helps us to wake up every day and live the right type of life. I'll live the right type of life, not in fear of the church. I'll live the right type of life, not in fear of my wife and in fear of my children. I'll live for God because I fear God, with a holy and reverent fear. And I live the right type of life and try to every day because of the constraining love Christ has for me and my constraining love I have for him. The Bible says here many times, our heart. I want you to notice the first thing, a condemning heart, in verse 20. The Bible says, for if our hearts condemn us. Many times you get saved by God's amazing grace. We've seen it many a times. And then you go astray, you get away from God just a little bit, and you get into the world just a little bit, and you get things in your life that should not be there, and no doubt you confess them to God, and God forgives your sins. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he's faithful. Not us being faithful, it's not some pope, but it's Jesus Christ. The Bible says he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you repent of your sins and flee from your sins and forsake your sins and follow after the Savior, then Christ will forgive you and cleanse you and remove all the guilt. Hey, thank God for the cleansing work of Jesus Christ, not only for salvation, but all through this journey that we're on the way to heaven. As we confess our sins, he'll forgive us and cleanse us. But sometimes we have sin in our life and it gives us a condemning heart. Sometimes we don't have the joy we should have because our hearts condemn us. Sometimes, my friend, I appreciate those who stands up and shout and will wave their arms and wave their hands and lift up their voices for God. And every once in a while say, good old amen and hallelujah and praise be to God and worthy is the Lamb. I love all those things. But sometimes you can't do that because our heart's condemning us. Sometimes we've had a bad week or we might have had a bad thought or we might have said something we shouldn't have said or had a feeling we shouldn't have had never felt. And you get in a good church service and a choir singing and something inside of you want to stand up and say, hey, man, I thank God I'm saved. But you can't do it because you've got a condemning heart. My friend, you can always bring that heart to Christ and he can wash it as white as snow. The Bible says, let us come together in reason, saith the Lord. He says, though your sins be as scarlet, they should be white as snow. Hey, my friend, thank God we've got a merciful Savior that's just and honest in his sight, and his thoughts is not our thoughts, and his ways is not our ways. And when we have a condemning heart, we can bring that condemning heart to Christ and we can get our joy back. I've been in many church services. I wish I could have got up and shouted. I wish I could have threw up a holy hand. I wish I could have got up and testified for the Lord and said something for God, but I had a condemning heart when my life wasn't clean before the Lord, and I knew I'd be just a hypocrite if I stood up and praised God. If I stood up and said something to try to praise the Lord, and I knew my heart wasn't right with Christ. Here the Bible says that our hearts sometimes condemn us, and it's not good to have a condemning heart. That condemning heart was still all the revival away. That condemning heart was still all of our joy and all of our rest and all of our peace away from us. Notice what it says here in verse 20. For if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts. Hey, my friend, I want you to know tonight, if you have a condemning heart, that God is greater than any sin you have in your life. And if you'll truly confess that sin to God and repent of that sin, He'll forgive that sin and give you another heart. I'm not trying to say He'll give you another spirit. He'll give you your joy back. He'll give you rest back. He'll give you your happiness back to you. My friend, all of us at one point in time, if you lived a Christian life long enough, had this condemning heart. Or you might have put your eyes on something you shouldn't have seen. And my friend, many times the devil brings something by you. And you look at it, you immediately turn away. And only if we turn away, that's all right. But the devil's always alluring you to draw your attention back and lust and look and try to get further into it. And we should never do that. Sometimes we get caught up in the fads of the world and try to give ourselves to the world. And we should never give ourselves to the world. We should always give ourselves to God. Maybe, my friend, we hear something on TV or hear something on the radio and it's not Christ-honoring, but yet we engage in an activity because it's pleasing to the flesh. And you come to church and hear good gospel music and somehow you can't praise God like you want to because you got a condemning heart. But remember, God is greater than us. God's greater than any sin. God's greater than any kind of, as my boys would say, boo-boo that we make. We've got a great Savior that's sitting upon His throne in heaven, looking down upon His children, ready to make intercession for every one of us that will come to Him. The Bible says there's one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. The Bible says He's the man, Christ Jesus, that's sitting upon His throne, holding up His nail-pierced hands to intercede for His children, to forgive His children, to help us in our Christian lives. The Bible says here in verse 20, a condemning heart. You know what we need to have? We don't need to have a condemning heart. A condemning heart's no good. A condemning heart is not what we should have. But my friend, we should have a confirming heart. Look here in verse 19. The Bible says, and hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before God. My friend, you know what we should have? We should have a confirming heart. Tonight, my friend, without a shadow of a doubt, every one of us that's sitting up under the voice, up under the sound of my voice, should know we're saved by God's amazing grace. You say, preacher, you always talk about the gospel, y'all. I always say, get saved. Well, my friend, that's the most important thing in life. That's the most important thing in life. Let me repeat it. It's the most important thing in life is to know you're saved. You're the child of God. Many people come to this altar and make a profession of faith, and they get up and go back home and never come through these church doors again. You say, what's wrong? Jesus can't save them. Oh, yes, Jesus can save them. Hey, Jesus can save anybody that's willing to come to Him and confess their sins and repent of it and place their faith and trust in Christ. God can save anybody. Either they didn't get saved or they don't have this confirming heart that they need. Maybe we didn't spend enough time with them and help them in their Christian life to get them started off on the right road. Maybe we didn't show them a Bible verse or two to show them that if they really repent of their sins and place their faith in Christ, they're saved by God's amazing grace and they should leave the altar living for Jesus Christ. The Bible says we can have a condemning heart, but I'm going to tell us tonight we need to have a confirming heart that we're the children, we're the sons and daughters of God. You do not need to leave this church building until you know you've been born again. You've been redeemed by the precious blood, that you've been bought by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Hey, my friend, Jesus Christ will save you if you'll come to Him. He'll save you if you come to Him. The Bible says here, verse 19, and hereby we know that we are the truth. Tonight, my friend, I'm not searching for the truth. I found the truth. It's the Word of God. Tonight, I'm searching in the truth to find out more about God and His life for me. And every time I read God's word and God speaks to me, it's confirming to my soul that I'm His. Every time I mess up and do something wrong, you say, preacher, is it good to sin? It's never good to sin, but it's great when sin yields its peaceable fruit. It's good, my friend, when we sin and trespass against God and God corrects us because that's confirming to us that we belong to Him. You see, these two boys right here, they belong to me. And they've had their share of corrections. They've had their share of daddy and son talks. They've had their share of discipline. They have their share of correction. Let me say, Lizzie here in faith, I've never laid a hand on them. I've never whipped them. You say, preacher, was there ever time you wanted to? Probably. But I never have. I've never have. Why? Because they're not my children. Now, I love them like they're mine, and I preach to them like they're mine, and I'm going to pray for them and everything else, but I've never touched them, I've never whipped them, because they're not mine. Brother Jeff, have you? Brother Tracy, have you? Because they're yours. They're yours. Have you ever spanked one of my children? Because they're not yours. Have you ever got spanked by God? I have too. Because we're God's. Because we're part of God's family. The Bible says sin can yield its peaceable fruit. I have a confirming heart every time God takes me to the woodshed and tear my rear end up. It helps me to know that I belong to Him and He belongs to me. Every time I'm in church service and somebody gives a good testimony and something starts bubbling up on the inside, it's like that pot roast. You put the meat in the water with the carrots and the onions and potatoes, and it starts bubbling and seasoning each other, my friend. Hey, there's something inside that starts bubbling up and it's coming out, my friend. Every time I hear a good gospel song, every time I hear a preacher preach, every time I hear a saint of God give a testimony, every time I see someone come in prayer, hey, there's something inside that's confirming to me that God's my Savior, that God's my Father, that I'm His child, that He's my Abba Father, He's my Daddy, that He's my God, that He's my Savior, that He's my friend, that He's my provider, that He's the bread of life, that He's the living water, that He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, that He's the bright and morning star, that He's my friend, He's all that I need Him to be. Do you have a confirming heart tonight that you're God's and that God's yours? It goes both ways. The Bible says you will not come unto me that you might have life. If you come to Christ, He'll give you life. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and go in and out and find pasture. He feeds us. The Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Because He's our shepherd, the Bible says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Do you have this confirming heart tonight? In verse 19, the Bible says, and hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. Hey, don't just tell the preacher you're saved. Hey, don't just tell your wife and your husband you're saved. Hey, don't tell your neighbor you're saved. Hey, know you're saved, but not know you're saved by confirming yourself in the truth that you've done what God has called has put in His Bible to do for salvation. I believe Sunday school this morning was birthmarks of believers, and how 1 John tells us about these birthmarks every believer has. I've got a birthmark on my body. It's a little brown patch of skin. It looks almost like a T-bone steak. I like looking at it every once in a while. It's on my body. It's a birthmark I received when I was born. Everyone that's saved tonight has a birthmark, have these birthmarks, has these things in you. You're saved by God's grace. You should have a confirming heart towards God. Not only that, but I believe we ought to have a confident heart. Look here in verse 21. The Bible says, beloved, if our hearts condemn us not, then have we confidence towards God. We ought to have a confident heart tonight in God. My friend, we ought to have a heart that's confident in God. That, my friend, when we kneel in prayer, that God and Father's, that God in heaven is our Father, and He hears our prayers and gives us what we need to live every day. Notice what the Bible says after that in verse 22. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments to do those things which are pleasing in His sight. We all have this confident heart towards God. Oh, we should. Do you realize tonight that we have a God in heaven that owns everything that you can ever want, that you could ever need, that you can ever desire? I heard John R. Rice say, well, wrote this in a book. I don't believe it's biblical, but I like it. He said, one day we'll get to heaven, and God Almighty is going to show us a door with your name on it. He's going to show you a door that leads to a room that has your name on it. And He's going to ask you to open the door. You're going to open the door and see everything in the room that you could have had if you just had faith in God and believe in God and ask God for those things. I believe God's got everything you need to live the Christian life with. Hey, the Apostle Paul says, my God shall supply your need according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Of course, I know Paul was saying that about them supplying his need as a missionary, because they supplied Paul's need as a missionary. He said his God's going to supply their need as Christians. But I do believe God has everything we need as a Christian to live the Christian life. If you need more power, God has it. If you need more rest, God has it. If you need more joy, God has it. it. If you need help, God has it. Hey, if you need more trust, God has it. If you need whatever you need, God has it. You say, I need a bigger house. Here's the thing. Are you going to use that house to glorify God? He can give it to you. You say, preacher, I need a new car. Are you going to use that car to glorify God with? I believe he can give it to you. Say, preacher, I need help. My health is deteriorating. I need more health. I'm not able to do what I used to do. Hey, are you going to use the health God can give to you to glorify him? If not, then why should God give it to you? If you ask for a new car and all you're going to do with that new car is go on vacations and miss every Sunday in the world, why is God going to give you a new car? Hey, I'm preaching. I know I'm preaching to the choir, but I'm preaching. You say, God, I want more health. I want more years. Are you going to use them years just to live like you want upon your own lust, or are you going to give them years to God? Here the Bible says we have a confident heart. We have a condemning heart. We should have a confirming heart. And now we have a confident heart. And in verse 21, the Bible says here, beloved, if our hearts condemn us not, then have we confidence towards God. Are you confident tonight? When my boy was in a hospital, the more I go to the hospital, the less confidence I have in the hospital. No throwing off on Sister Terry Lynn or anybody that works in the hospital. But every human being can make mistakes. Even this preacher boy can make mistakes. But there in a hospital room, we had confidence in God that God can touch his body. Amen. If he's willing to. Now, we didn't know if God would, but we knew God could. We don't know what God will do, but we know God can do everything. God can do anything but fail. God can do anything but fail. We ought to have a confirming heart. A confident heart that when we ask God for what we need in our lives, that God can supply it, that God can give it, because he's the great I am. The Bible says he owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. He says the silver and the gold that's in the hills belongs to him. God has everything you ever need in your life if you'll just believe in him and trust in him and call upon him. Call upon me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Not only do we need to have a confident heart, but look at verse 22. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments. I believe we need to have a consuming heart. I believe as Christians we need to allow God to consume our hearts. I've got a book in my office, How Christ Crowds Our Life. We need to allow Christ to crowd our life. And there's good things in our life, but as you give your life over to Christ, he helps you to lose your desire for those good things. A lot of good things. A lot of good things. There's a lot of good things I like to do. There's a lot of good things I used to love to do, but I don't do them anymore, not because they're bad, but just because I gave my life to Christ, and Christ crowded my life, and he moved those desires out of my life, and he gave me more desire for him. We need to have a consuming heart. If every one of us would just get on fire for God, if every one of us from these boys and girls, hey, don't we want these boys and girls to live the Christian life? Don't we want these boys and girls to go to school and of course, read their Bible and pray for their lunch and do all those good things that a Christian should do? We want their lives to be consumed with Christ. We want them to be ate up with Christ. We want them to be captured by the love of Christ's cross and have it in their hearts. Of course, we want all these good things for our children, but what's good for them is good for us. And we should allow our hearts to be consumed with Christ, consumed with Christ. I've got a paper somewhere in my office. It tells us if we live 70 years, how much time we'll spend watching TV, how much time we'll spend sleeping, how much time we'll spend eating, how much time we'll spend coming to church, how much time we'll spend reading our Bibles. And that's almost the way it goes. Watching TV, sleeping, eating, being church. We don't allow Christ to consume our lives. You see these girls here? We don't have to worry about them making the wrong decisions if they allow Christ to consume their lives. If every day they wake up and sit and say, I'm going to please God today. Faith says, I'm going to please God today. Hey, Lizzie said, I'm going to please God today. We don't have to worry about these girls if their hearts will be consumed by Christ. A consuming heart. You say, preacher, I'm not there. Sometimes I'm not neither. I love to preach. I love it more than anything in the world. I tell you this. I don't get no ideas, but if you didn't pay me, I'd still preach. You pay me so I can preach, so I can be here. If I didn't get a dime from this church, I still preach. I might preach a little bit harder, but I preach. I love preaching. God called me to be a pastor. God called me to be a preacher, and I want to give myself to that. Give myself to what God's called me to do. The rest of my life, I want to do this one thing for the rest of my life, and that's just serving God. I want a consuming heart. I want to be just ate up with God. We went fishing the other day and took the children fishing, and they got ate up with red bugs. You ever had red bugs? You know what's happened? You know what happens if you just scratch one? You got the rest of them starts itching. And pretty soon you're scratching and digging and doing all you can to get some relief. Hey, I want God to consume our hearts like that, where you just hear someone gives a little squeaky amen. You remember when Brother Van White was here and somebody gave a squeaky amen? Hey, he said amen, and somebody else said amen, and someone else said amen. It got louder, it got better, it got louder, it got better. Hey, I want a consuming heart where every time I see someone passing the side on the sidewalk, I wonder if they're saved or not. I want a consuming heart every time I open a newspaper and see the obituary and read those names. I want to ask myself, are they saved? Or we just look at them like they're nothing. We need to have a consuming heart. But turn here, if you would, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You'll find that to your left. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It'd be good if all of us had this consuming heart. Look here, if you would, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We'll read one verse out of this. It says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and look at verse 14. I want you to turn there and look at it with me. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead." Look at the very first part of that verse. "For the love of Christ constraineth us." I'll give you some Bible lessons right now. Any kind of word you see in the Bible that ends in E-T-H, it means it's a continual action. The Bible says in hell, the man lifteth his eyes in hell. He's lifting his eyes every day. He's lifting it up to heaven to try to find some help. The Bible says here, "For the love of Christ constraineth us." Every day his love is constraining us. You know, my friend, tonight we have financial troubles. You know, tonight the economy's bad. You know, tonight we have health problems. We have all kind of problems. Hey, my friend, tonight, I'm not going to leave this church and rob a bank. You say, "Why, preacher, you don't need the money." Yeah, we need the money just like y'all need the money. But the love of Christ constraineth us. And I'm not going to rob a bank tonight, not because I get caught, but because God sees it in my every actions. I'm not going to leave this church tonight and grab one of them Bud Dummers and stick it up my lips and drink that thing down. Hey, you say, "Why?" This hand still can hold a beer. These lips still can drink a beer. The only difference tonight is the love of Christ is constraining me and is helping me not to do those things again. Not only do we need to have a consuming heart, but we need to have a constraining heart. Sometimes, my friend, it's easy to get caught up in the world. But us as Christians, we need to get out of the world and be ye separate, say the Lord, and touch not the unclean things. He said, "Get out from among them and be ye separate," say the Lord. We need to have a controlling heart. How many of you, don't raise your hand. No, don't raise your hand. But how many of us would love to stay home this evening and just relax? A lot of us. But because Christ is controlling our hearts, we get up and come to church. And I'm going to tell you, when you leave this church, you're glad you come. Boy, you'll feel awful tonight if you stayed home. You'll feel awful tonight. I know some people sick. Some people's not able to come. But if you're able to come and you just sit home because you're too lazy and sorry to come, your heart kind of condemns you. But when you come to church and you go home, boy, you're sure glad you done that. And tonight, my friend, we need to have one of these constraining hearts. It's almost like a puppy dog on a leash. And you put the leash around the dog's neck and you lead him around everywhere you want to go. You say, "Preacher, bless God, I'm not a puppy dog." It'd be good if some of us would be and just get down and be obedient to God and let Christ lead us anywhere and everywhere he wants us to go.
That God put the holy reins upon our lives and lead us in the direction He wants us to go. The Bible says here that the love of Christ constraineth us. We need a constraining heart. And last but not least, look here if you would in John. The Gospel of John chapter 14. This is my last point. Our last verse. The Gospel of John chapter 14. Not only do we need to have a confirming heart, a confident heart, a consuming heart, a controlling heart, but look at this. The Bible says here in verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. The Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Not only do we need to have a constraining heart, but I believe that we need to have a controlled heart. Let Christ control our lives. You know what he says? It's amazing to me. He says, you're my friend if you keep my commandments. Why would God say that? Why would Christ Almighty say, hey, Jeff, you're my friend if you keep my commandments? Because a true friend would never hurt you. A true friend would never hurt you. And tonight I'm trying to be the best friend I can be to my wife. Tonight, whether y'all know it or not, she's my best friend. And she's not trying to hurt me, and I'm not trying to hurt her. I'm trying to help her. You know what she says? She says, Scott, if you don't keep my commandments, you're not my friend. Tonight, my friend, God says, if you're my friend, don't hurt me, but help me by doing what the Bible says. The Bible says that our lives should be a sacrifice for God, and that's the reasonable service. The Bible says this, that we should lay down our lives as a living sacrifice for God. That's our reasonable service. If you love me, keep my commandments. That's not too hard, is it? Now, I've got a lot of commandments. I've got a lot of rules and regulations at the house. And boy, sometimes we can put our foot down. Sometimes, Brother John, we put our foot in our mouth, can't we? Just open it up and insert both feet. But you know what God says? God says, hey, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you fall in love with God, it won't be difficult to follow him. It won't be difficult to follow him. If you just fall in love with God, let him have your heart, not the muscle, but the inward part. Say, God, here I am. If you love him, he's never asking too much. Our hearts. The Bible says, keep the hearts with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. If you want to have a good Christian life, if you want to be the best Christian you can be for God, you know, there's only one thing you can do. Just let God have your heart. Just let him have you. And he'll make out of you what he wants you to be. Might be a Sunday school teacher. Might be a preacher. Might be just a faithful laborer. Might be just someone here that's sitting in the congregation that just nods their heads every once in a while and say, preacher, that's right. That's needful. That's needful. Let God have our hearts. Let him have control. Do what needs to be done. Father God, we love you. We thank you. We pray for this invitation now. As we get ready, I pray, God, for these that will come to this altar. Lord, you help us open our hearts up to you and realize, God, that a condemning heart is no good. And many times our hearts condemn us. And it holds us back. It doesn't give us the joy and the rest that we need. But God, tonight we can confess our sin, our sins, and get our hearts cleansed by the blood of Jesus. And then, Father God, we can have a confirming heart and a consuming heart, a controlled heart. Help us tonight to give ourselves to Jesus for thy use and for thy glory. In Christ Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet if you would. Your head still bowed, your eyes still closed for just a few minutes. The invitation begins, the altar's open. If you need to come tonight to pray, you come. Maybe you need to pray for yourself. Maybe you need to pray for a loved one. Maybe you want to pray for a friend. Maybe tonight you need to ask God to help you with your heart. Or maybe tonight you might be one here lost and know without Christ that needs to be saved. Why don't you come to this altar tonight? If you'll meet me up here, I'll help you. I'll take the Bible and show you how to trust in Christ, how you can get forgiveness. I'm not here to help you. I'm not here to hurt you. I'm trying to help you tonight. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to help you by allowing God to use me to give you exactly what you need. Don't have a condemning heart. Oh, you're saved. That's wonderful. You're on your way to heaven. That's great. But don't let the devil steal your joy, steal your peace. Don't let the devil take your life. Won't you ask God to help you tonight? Won't you ask God to help you tonight to have these things in our hearts? To have this confirming heart that we know that we're His. Have a confident heart that we know whatever we ask in His name that we can have. To have a consuming heart that He crowds our lives. That He's there every time we wake up. We know He's there and we live for Him. We love Him. Have a constraining heart where the love of Christ constraineth us. Where we live the type of Christian life that's well-pleasing to Him just simply because of who He is. Not what He's done, not what He can do, but simply because of who He is. We live our lives in such a way that will bring Him glory.